Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, Christina England, journalist and author of Vaccination Policy and the UK Government, The Untold Truth, she has come on, has asked me to interview a nurse who was accused of shaken baby syndrome. Her child was vaccinated during pregnancy, and we're going to get to the specifics right now. So hold on while I introduce my guest, Laura Lynn McLean. Please say hello.
Hello.
And Christina England, say hello.
Hello.
And I'm going to turn the show over right now to Christina England for an interview with Laura Lynn McLean. Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. Yes, Laura came to me in Facebook originally, asking me for help after she being accused of shaken baby syndrome. I asked her my normal question, have your child been vaccinated? And she said, oh, no, he's 5 weeks old. He hasn't been vaccinated because he can't be vaccinated. We're in the UK. So I said, right. As I hadn't heard of any cases of shaken baby syndrome that hasn't been vaccinated, I thought of it and said, have you been vaccinated during pregnancy? And then she told me that she was a nurse and that, yes, she had been vaccinated. She had received the flu vaccine and also the DPT, mainly for the whooping cough, which they're pushing, the government's all pushing at the moment. And also she had received iron supplements during the pregnancy, and antibiotics. I'd like to say hello to Laura, and I'll introduce you. Can you tell us a bit about yourself, Laura?
Hi, I'm Laura. I come from Scotland. I trained as a nurse back in 2009. Right now, I'm unemployed due to the situation with the shaken baby syndrome case. My son's currently been in the 9th of December, 2013.
Right, and what exactly happened to your son? Can you tell us a bit about what happened, please?
Well, on the 9th of December, 2013, my son suddenly fell ill in his father's care. I was in the house at the time, lying in bed. It was quite early in the morning. He just suddenly, with wild feeding, he choked and then went unresponsive. He was limp, unresponsive, not breathing, choking, limp, going blue. I called 999, thinking at the time that it was a choking episode. We were taken to hospital. My son received a CT scan within 10 minutes of being in the accident and emergency. And then I was actually taken outside, and a doctor explained to me that my son had been shaken.
Right. And
okay, hold on just 1 second, both of you. Laura, will you hang up and call back in, because there's kind of a metallic noise every 20th word. So just hang up and call back in so we can continue with a clear reception.
Okay, I'll do that now.
Thank you. Now, Christina, I also want to mention that beyond the medication she was given, including 4 doses of vaccines while pregnant, she received the vitamin K, her little boy received the vitamin K shot upon birth. So,
yeah,
right, I don't want to neglect to bring that up as well.
It's very important. I mean, he's obviously received an awful lot of vaccinations. And people have got to remember that vaccination for the flu shot, whilst the CDC are saying that it's quite safe, I've got other paperwork to say otherwise. Also, that shot does include dimerisal or mercury.
And so does the DTaP.
Yeah, the DTaP, but the flu vaccine. She wants to have the flu vaccine. That's the one that has the mercury in.
Well, they both do, though, the flu shot and the DTaP.
They do, they both do.
Right.
Also includes aluminium. And aluminium and bananas are together work against each other, and they can be very dangerous, very toxic.
Right. I understand it makes them exponentially toxic. So...
That's right, it does.
Right. Okay. There's something else I wanted to mention. Oh, yes, everybody who's listening to this program, there are very important links directly. Now, your friend did not hang up. She did not hang up, so she can't call back in unless she hangs up. Oh, you did. Okay, then hold on just a second. Let me finish this thought. There are very important links directly under the screen, so when you see this on Facebook, say, open the actual link. So you see the further important links and then scroll down a bit and wait for the comments area to appear because we are going to embellish that area with a lot more information. So this is going to be a very comprehensive learning tool, okay? All right. Welcome back, Laura Lynn McLean. Thank you, Christina England. Please proceed.
Right. So can you continue? What happens once the doctor has taken you aside? With the social services and the police brought in straight away?
Well, actually, at the hospital on arrival, before any diagnosis is made, I believe common protocols, you know, the 999 call, and the child is in hard to raise, I believe that the police have to take.
That's very unusual for the police to be there straight away, but I have heard similar stories from Christopher Savage, who is a police officer. So, yeah, we've heard stories about him and from him what goes on. The police are trained a certain way. This obviously was quite a shock to you and your family. What happened to your little boy?
Well, he was transferred to Yorkshire Children's Hospital in Glasgow, where he's seen by pediatricians, radiologists, neurosurgeons. They all apparently ran numerous medical tests, metabolic screenings, and other things, and all appears normal.
Well, did they do a toxicology report? Because that would be the key. Right, a toxicology report?
Yeah, well, I do have his medical records, and there isn't an extensive lab report as such. But what I did find...
So, wait, you just said there was not an extensive lab report, or there was?
I believe there was, but the results, which I don't have, I believe the results are on an electronic record within the hospital that the hospital failed to... give to the court.
Aha, there you go. So the toxicology report was not given to the court. Christina, do you have a word about that?
Yes, this is not the first time this has happened. We've had another case on here that sadly ended in tragedy, but that particular case, they didn't get any of their records at the hospital. The hospital had all their records and they didn't pass them to the courts at all, and it was a one-sided case. And it just, both parents in that case were actually jailed. So it was quite a severe case. I mean, in this case, were you told at any time that the vaccines that you were being given during pregnancy had any dangers, or were you told they were perfectly safe?
I was told they were perfectly safe. To be quite honest, I didn't really question it because during my nurse training, I was taught that all vaccinations given were completely safe.
Yeah, that's the normal training. I'm going to just read out something for one of my articles. The article actually is up on the chat. Is your unborn baby part of the vaccine experiment? And I found some CDC papers. They were from 2008, and they said, this is for the TDAP or the DTT, it depends which one you have, but they're both really the same, they just do a different version. One's got a live virus in it, I think, and the other one hasn't, but the TDAP, but it also did say the DTP as well. It says, available evidence does not address the safety of TDAP for pregnant women. Pregnancy outcomes efficiently. Available data also
do not indicate whether Tdap induced it was literally speaking about the dangers of the Tdap in pregnancy. There was some other information, this is more important to me. The safety and efficacy of using Tdap in pregnant women has not been demonstrated. The Tdap is not recommended for use in pregnant women in any country. Now, this is 2008. No evidence exists of accessibility or any fatality among pregnant women ascribed to the pertussis, which is the whooping cough element. No evidence exists demonstrating whether Tdap in pregnant women harms the fetus or increases risk for adverse pregnancy outcomes. Transplacental antibody induced by Tdap administered during pregnancy will protect the infant against pertussis, or Tdap induced transplacental maternal antibody would have a negative effect on the infant's protective immune response to later administered routine pediatric CTAP, or it's a very, very long paper, and it is up on that. It tells this accusation. Basically, what happened in the 3 years before, in 2008, they're saying it was clearly unsafe, and that's the CDC. And what we've got 6 years later,
okay, I'm going to add something right now, Christina. Dr. Rebecca Carley said when she was in medical school, she went on to become a surgeon. When she was in medical school, under no circumstance were pregnant women to be vaccinated. This was the moray in her day. And what has changed except that they have become more dangerous of the vaccine? So all I can say is, isn't that interesting?
It is, and you know, it when babies, sadly end up like the little baby involved in this case, it's very sad, and especially when parents are being falsely accused, and they are being falsely accused. Laura is no means quite the only one. What do you feel about hearing what I've read out, and also about the article itself, which you have read, I have to admit to you. Now, Laura, what do I feel about it?
Yeah.
I'm deeply saddened that the government and the governments all over the world continue to hate us back and continue to push the vaccines upon people. Without giving any great knowledge of what effect this would have on unborn children, I wish if I had seen that little bit of information from the midwives, from the doctors, that my decision probably would have been different.
Well, I also want to add at this juncture that Dr. Vera Scheibner, PhD, she has said that the DTaP vaccine is what's causing the encephalopathy, the small heads and brains in the children in Brazil. And when they stopped administering it, the children stopped being born with small heads and small brains.
Yeah, this is the Mike Kessley, and my son actually had, my son was born with it, so he was clearly affected as well. This is appalling. The whole situation is appalling, and we've got, families being deeply affected by this. I believe we've been fighting this case hugely for a while now, and sadly, we did get a really good report by Dr. Michael Innes, and when we presented it to the court and presented it to the lawyer withdrew from the case and said he no longer wants to be involved in the case. The lawyer now has no lawyer.
So, Laura, you need a lawyer who is a Scottish lawyer. Here in the United States, if I needed a lawyer, I would have to get a New York lawyer. So it's beyond the fact that he would have to be from the United States. He would have to be from my state. Where exactly can a lawyer hail from who could represent you?
I think it's best if it's a lawyer from my area or nearby in Scotland, but I believe that the children's hearing system is slightly different in Scotland as to as it is in England. Although I do believe some English solicitors are trained in Scotland. So I don't think that it's impossible to have an English lawyer to represent me.
Why do you think the lawyer that you had already signed the case, why do you think he backed out?
Worry of being criticised by other lawyers for using these specific experts who are willing to speak up against vaccines and other issues relating to it.
Well, I want to tell you, Laura, that Dr. Vera Scheibner was supposed to testify at a trial for a woman accused of shaken baby syndrome, and her own lawyer canceled her testimony the night before the trial. So this woman is now in prison, and she was put there by her own lawyer. So your lawyer at least has stepped out and has given you an opportunity to get someone who will not do this to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very hard situation when you've got the evidence and you know what was going on. This little baby suffering from tissue scurvy and had an abundance of vitamin C in the blood, but the vitamin C couldn't get to the tissues and it's to the brain. Now, when she presented the report to the lawyer, he turned around and he said that scurvy couldn't cause bleeding to the brain. Now, obviously, scurvy can't cause bleeding to the brain, but we weren't talking about scurvy. We were talking about tissue scurvy. It's a totally different thing altogether. Only scurvy is the lack of consistency in the body altogether, and it's almost diminished. There's none there at all. And this was the sea scurvy, the semen scurvy, when they spoke to be in the boat that they all talk about. Now, this is very, very different to tissue scurvy. I want to say that quite clear. It's a tissue scurvy.
Okay, I'm going to put that article that you've written on that issue also in the comment area. But, Laura, when is this trial coming up? Do you have a date for it? Is it postponed due to your lawyer stepping out? Or what precisely is the time frame that you need a lawyer?
Well, I need a lawyer almost instantly. We've actually already been to court. The criminal trial was brought all together basically the day after a police interview and we were charged with everything. The case that went ahead was a family court case. And it didn't go into my favor.
I see. Well, Karen, now this is an issue I have brought up to a judge whose child died of sudden infant death syndrome. I said to him, how do we affect that a case be thrown out because Christina England, who is the expert here, does not know of a case of shaken baby syndrome in an unvaccinated child unless the mother had been vaccinated. That's the only caveat. So I said to him, cannot we throw out all cases of shaken baby syndrome in this knowledge if the records go missing, which yours have? Your toxicology reports have not been released and are not part of this case.
Laura's child has been placed for adoption. Fortunately for her, that she's a family member has stepped in and he's going to be placed with family. This is quite rare. Often they go to strangers and they're adopted out completely. This little boy, he's been placed with family, so he's at least being kept safe to a degree. But the best family that he could ever have is his own family, is Laura and her husband.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that he's being placed with family. My God, that is huge.
Well, that's brilliant for this little one. It's also very sad that this should have happened at all. Laura was only doing what she was told to do, what she'd been recommended to do, what she'd brought up to do, and educated to do within the hospital. And now she's finding out that everything she's learned over all the years of training turns out to be lies. And this is very, very severe. These situations, it's only when these situations occur that people are learning. And it shouldn't be like that at all. It's so sad that families are happy.
You
know, what do you feel about that,
Sally? Oh, what do I feel about that? Well, I'm thinking about my friend Valerie Murfin, who used to vaccinate dogs and cats and she said she's given tens of thousands of vaccines. And when her grandchild was born and he, in fact, died from vaccination, she was saying, this is a vaccine response, and no one would listen to her, and she being an expert. But in the world of animals, there is something known as vaccinosis. They at least identify the hurt and the death as a result of the vaccinations for animals. And people are animals, too. I ask everyone to go to, I believe it's Catherine Driscoll's article. I will put that in the comment area, too, which explains vaccine reactions in people and in pets. And it's very important that we all understand it. It's short and it's extremely comprehensible.
I want to explain something. I think it's very, very important. This little boy, and you know, he has this leaves the brain, and Laura's been accused of shaken baby syndrome. Now, all charges have been dropped, so there's no case to answer. So why is this going forward to the family court? Why should this be allowed to go forward to the family court? There's no court case to answer, and nothing can be proven that she's done anything or her husband has done anything. Then the baby should be placed back with the mother. What do you feel about that, Laura?
Yeah, well, the real court system was here, as you know, the family court go by a balance of probability, whereas the criminal court goes by factual evidence. And in the case that someone goes to trial and is found not guilty, they can still be taken to court under the family laws and be found guilty.
This is all wrong. I mean, it's happened in my case. I've been cleared of all charges. My children never left me. They always stayed with me. And I was accused of Munchausen syndrome by proxy after a vaccine injury. And I can no longer ever work with children. I can have nothing to do with children at all. I cannot even help out at Sunday school outing. I'm not allowed to be anywhere near children. However, I've been completely cleared, and this is because parents have put on what's called an abuse register, and they are looked at as suspicious for abusing children. So even if they've been cleared, and I've been cleared, you've been cleared, and we've both done this register, and it's for life. Now, a prisoner that's been in prison, that's done his time, can come out 5 years later, all charges are dropped, and he's cleared, and he can go on to live a normal life. And it's never referred to. But someone accused falsely of abusing their child when clearly they haven't goes on to stay on this register for life. Even a paedophile can get off that register, a paedophilia register, but someone like us can never get off this register. And this is what people don't understand.
Isn't there a famous quote, I believe it might have been Alan Yurko, who pled guilty to taking his child to the pediatrician? Right, so he committed the crime of taking his child to the pediatrician.
Yeah, I mean, these are important facts that are coming up. You know, this lady here that we've got on the show today, she was a nurse. She was trained to do what's best for the children, what's best for her baby. She was trained to help people, to help, you know, people that are ill. And yet this has happened to her, and now she can never work in her field again. She's lost her whole job, she's lost her career. All that training goes to waste, just like my training. I've got, you know, certificates. I'm actually a trained Portage teacher, and I can no longer do that. And that's working with the disabled. So it's very, very hard when you have to state that you can never work in the field that you're trained in.
Can I ask you, Laura, is this a forced vaccination situation? Were you required by the hospital you worked in to get these vaccinations as a pregnant mother?
No. They were offered to me, and the knowledge which I had at the time, I said,
okay.
Now, in hindsight of what's going on, would you do it again? What would you recommend to other pregnant women? I would recommend that pregnant mothers do their research before they consider people injecting this poison into their body. And I mean, listen to other parents who have been through the good and the bad situations, and just really, really think about it, because it is life-changing. It might not seem it, but it is life-changing.
I mean, I always say, educate before you vaccinate. That's the way forward. Everybody should have the knowledge for and against and weigh it up themselves.
Well, I'll tell you what I say, Christina. I say don't go near hospitals or pediatricians. Don't go to any institution that requires vaccinations like schools or the military.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the book I just brought out is really very, very strong, and it exposes you so much about what's going on, and that includes the military.
And now we have to avoid OBGYN. You know, this is my recommendation to my extended family member. I gave her a copy of Silent Epidemic, and I said, you know, cash the check I gave you after you have seen this. This was for a baby shower. I said, this is my greatest gift to you.
Parents just don't realize how dangerous they are. I mean, I didn't. So, you know, when I first came, you know, adopted my boys were adopted and were vaccinated before I had them. But that doesn't mean to say they haven't received any vaccinations since they have. But I didn't know that they were wrong at the time that they received those vaccinations. I believe that, you know, vaccinations were the best thing. Doctors are always telling us that that's the best thing to do for our children and adults. And they also, you know, they recommend doing them at the hospitals. They recommend everywhere that you go, vaccinations are being recommended.
Now, you
go with what the government says, you care, you trust the government, you trust the doctors, and now people are learning you can't trust any of these people. And it's so scary, but it's something that's the reality.
Right. Well, everybody's been lied to up, down, and sideways, and it's the scandal of this century. I mean, to say scandal is really not putting the right, you know, the crime. But I wanted to ask you, in your job as a nurse, did you vaccinate other people? Had you been required to take vaccines like the annual flu shot at any point? And what is your knowledge of vaccination on a firsthand basis?
I didn't vaccinate anyone myself. That's usually going to people's general practitioner to arrange that, and they would attend their local doctors to get that done. I didn't go on to work in any hospitals after I completed my nurse training. That was for personal reasons, but now I wouldn't have taken it forward again even if I should.
Okay, this countdown does not apply to you. As a nursing student, did you have to take any vaccinations? What were you required, if at all, to take as an employee if you were at any point employed?
Hepatitis B vaccine, the flu vaccine was what I was required to have.
I see.
I would just like to point out, a friend came to me in one of the conferences I was at and said to me that her son had done all the training. He's been accepted on the course, done his training as a physiotherapist, and he'd gone through the whole of the training and until the last year, and he's been required to have these vaccinations, and he refused every year, and he made it very clear that he did not want to have these vaccinations. And in the last year, he was appointed to the GMC, and he's now been struck off.
Oh, wow. How many of these flu shots, for how many years have you taken the annual flu shot? Because all of this is building up in your system, and quite frankly, if you never got vaccinated as a pregnant woman, I would have recommended detox from all the flu shots you've already had. How many had you had at that point?
Probably from a child. I've had one every year.
Okay.
See, this is what's happening. I mean, Laura, you've already got to see a picture. Laura is a very young lady, and this is what's happening. And the schools and everywhere is being trained that you've got to have the flu shot every year. I know in New York, where you are, they brought it in as a mandatory vaccination.
Well, we overturned it. We overturned it, and they're appealing it, of course, but we did overturn it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of other states have already done that, and it's already mandatory, one of the mandatory vaccinations. Fortunately, in the UK, we're not mandatory, but they're bringing in the mandatory vaccinations through the back door. What I mean by through the back door is you can't get into nursery schools, children can't get into schools, they can't get into clubs, you can't be a carer of children if you haven't been vaccinated, i.e. A childcare provider of any kind. So this is quite a serious situation we're getting, because they're just bringing it in back through the back door and people aren't realising that. And, in other words, really, the UK has mandatory vaccinations. They just don't come out and say it.
Well, I have to tell you that, Laurelyn, you may not realize this, but the National Council of Organized Women did a study, and it revealed that women who had been given the flu shot were 4,250% more likely to have a miscarriage. So this is a very startling statistic. I started to bring it to pharmacists because in the day it was the pharmacists who were administering it to pregnant women. So at the time it was only a 700% increase, and at the end of the day it turned out to be 4,250. Say that the pharmacists were respectful. They looked ashen. They did not look well after this, after learning this. But yet another pharmacy, I was literally carried out of the pharmacy upon trying to educate the pharmacist. But regardless, this is a very, that's just one shot. That's just the flu shot. We're talking also the DTaP. And I have to tell you, having interviewed over 300 parents of vaccine-injured children, the DTaP has had the most severe effect, complete brain damage, cerebral palsy, kidney failure, blindness in a child who before this single three-dose shot had been perfectly fine. Seizures galore.
Sorry, we've also got things about seizures, children having seizures and beginning to get epilepsy. I was vaccinated with DTaP when I was little, or DTP it was then, and I'm epileptic,
So,
these vaccines are causing a lot of children to become epileptic.
So, now, you need a lawyer right away, Laurelyn. So, let us get back to this. You live in what area? So, you're saying that you can have a lawyer that can represent you anywhere in Scotland or in your area? What is your area?
If it's anywhere in Scotland. My area is just outside Glasgow. It's a place called Ayrshire.
Okay. So anywhere in Scotland, though, someone can represent you. I know that my friend Jeanette E. Robb is looking into getting help for you. She's a woman who's got a very damaged child of vaccinated, misdiagnosed, and drugged is the synopsis of her child's story. He's now an adult. And so she's looking into getting help for you. And let us know, if you will, do you have money to pay for someone, or are you looking for proffered services?
Well, at the moment, because I'm unemployed, I'm helped under the legal aid force. And they pay any lawyer's fee to open any cases for any advice and representation.
So you would have to get a lawyer through that agency?
No, they apply to the agency for funding.
I see. Okay, so you can recruit your own lawyer, and they will then can apply to the agency for funding.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's good to know, because when looking to get your help, to know what the circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I've got a very good agency that I've been working a lot with, Jackie Gillett and her law agency, which is called Brick House Law Agency. That's in the UK, and they specialise in particularly in shaken baby syndrome cases. We were lucky enough to see the film The Syndrome, which is absolutely fantastic film, because she brought it to London privately and did a private screening for parents, and a lot of GFQs attended this screening. We're having so many cases. I mean, one doctor has told me, and this is Dr. Ayer, he picked out rickets and vaccinations for women in total rickets, and he told me that he was getting 3 cases a day of 40 parents. Another doctor on the film Syndrome, Dr. Plunkett, he announced he was getting 3 a week. This is how bad these cases are. Dr. Plunkett is a doctor that specializes in short form injury.
Now, Laura Lynn has just stated that she has had 2 miscarriages, cause unknown, 1 late miscarriage and 1 early. Were you vaccinated prior to these miscarriages, Laura?
Yes.
Oh, yes. The answer is yes, in case you did not hear that. So this is horrifying. And you never put the two together? It never occurred to you that the vaccine might have caused your miscarriages, I'm assuming?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. Oh, today, yeah. Oh.
This is a real tragic case, and Laura really does need help. We need also another expert that's willing to do a report for this lady. We've got Dr. Michael Smith on board, but we need another expert. So anybody out there that's an expert in shaken baby syndrome and can speak out to this mother, please come and, you know, introduce yourself.
There was an article in About.com asking, should women get the flu shot? This was when it was a big deal in 2009. And the first 10 people who responded had all lost their children. And the 11th person who responded was a nurse who I know. So I know that these are actual real people responding. And they all had lost their children, the first 10 responses. I used to have that on a website, and that website no longer exists. I can't find it, and I'm probably still paying for it, which is ironic, and but I also can't find it on about.com. That was absolutely such evidence, such immediate, and you are so indoctrinated, Laura Lynn, that because you have been told that they are safe and effective, you never even thought to question your 2 miscarriages prior to this child. Wow. Oh, boy.
I've linked this to you, Laura. Just putting it on the chat. Yeah, it's about the flu vaccine and the 4,250% increase in this challenge. Wow. Yeah, I just write that one with the MCAL, which is what Sally was thinking about.
But I also want to tell you something else. There's the nurse that Barbara Fisher interviewed, and she had been given the flu shot, and she developed Guillain-Barré, which a lot of the nurses who've been around since the 70s are apprised of. They actually know the dangers of the flu shot, but you are obviously not among them. You're a very young person. So this nurse, however, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of years getting tests, and finally a doctor said to her, well, you wouldn't have gotten the flu shot, would you? Well, it was required for her work. She said, yes, I did. So that's it. So hundreds of thousands of dollars, and years later, this woman finds out that it's the flu shot. Turns out, because nobody reported these vaccine reactions, she was the 8th person in her hospital to develop Guillain-Barré, but nobody was. It's all hush-hush, you know?
Guillain-Barré syndrome can be lifelong, and it can actually it can get better in some cases, but not very much.
Well, and sometimes with a breathing mechanism, because your lungs don't work either.
No, it's a very very similar to the type what they describe as the polio. Very similar to that. I've always expected it could possibly be that, and it's just been renamed for convenience.
Well, anyway, Laura, please take the last 5 minutes and say everything and anything you wish to. This is your time. Christina and I will be quiet. Loudly.
You can be the syndrome. Well, if you've been accused of it, first thing you should do is speak to a lawyer. Go on to these support groups. There's people out there who can help you who are going through the same thing as you. You have advice. Some people have stories which are successful, some which aren't successful. Some people are still going through those stories. And let me tell you, it doesn't end at the end of the court case. It continues for the rest of your life. Please be prepared. Challenge the doctors. They're all saying probably a lot more than all of us. They'll challenge it to the extent where they'll protect their jobs, they'll protect their colleagues. They're not interested in the well-being of the child. Once the suspicion that it is vaccine-related, you're accused of abuse. I hope that all parents get the advice they need, and I hope that all mothers get vaccines during the second stage, get vaccines for their newborn baby, and reject any other vaccines offered to them for the rest of the children's life.
Well, thank you very much, Laura Lynn McLean, for sharing your story. I really hope that this interview will yield a lawyer for you and swiftly. And I hope you get your little boy back. I'm very pleased that at least it is with a relative. He's with a relative, so that is certainly nothing is assured in that regard. So you're actually fortunate there, but nonetheless, this is so serious and so tragic that you have miscarried twice and that you now have had your little boy taken away with false accusation of abuse. You know, tragic. We will put all the articles in the comment area that we refer to. Christina has written all of them. You know, Christina is a force and for righteousness and for the salvation of our children. So thank you very much, Christina England and Laura Lynn McLean.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.